Hello again, podcast listeners. This is Matthew Bird, the online editor for The Phoenix. I'm joined today by Mr. Eric Reinhardt. He's going to be telling us about an event coming up this Friday at the Colonial that's in support of the film Honey Dripper. How are you doing today, Eric?
Hi, Matt. How are you?
I'm good. We are meeting here in the Phoenix office very early on a Wednesday, so... we are just enjoying the very nice weather.
It is gorgeous out.
So, Eric, why don't you tell us about what exactly is coming up this on Friday at the Colonial?
Well, it's a combined effort. It's an independent film called Honey Dripper by the director John Sayles, who's been called by the New York Times the father of independent film in America. I don't know if he'd agree with that. But... he is friends with my brother Mark, and they both live in Dutchess County, New York. And a couple of winters ago, when John was finishing up work on Honey Dripper and getting into the editing stages, he talked with Mark and his girlfriend Lydia about wanting to reach the audience in a different way, rather than the blockbuster style, you know, and pushing commercially and all that, because the point of Honey Dripper the movie is grassroots. It's a history of black music in the South, and how it grew up. And he didn't want this blockbuster stigma attached to it. So as they were talking, Lydia, who works at Dutchess Community College, got the idea that he hook up with another foundation that's musically oriented, and she happened to be working with a program called MusicLink. It's a scholarship program, and the Dutchess Community College initiated the scholarship program in 2000, providing music instruction to low-income students who show musical promise. And since then, over 50 students from age 3 to 18 have been sponsored to participate in various classes, tuition-free, including children's choral groups, vocal technique for teens, chamber music, jazz ensembles, dance, beginning and intermediate violin, West African drumming. I mean, it goes on and on. And what MusicLink does is, for students who demonstrate musical ability and meet economical eligibility criteria, they fund their education and or find ways to get instruments into the hands of these students.
So these are students that their school or organization has been unable, because of financial constraints, to continue their music program,
right,
and have been forced to cut it.
And you look at that, around the nation, the arts and music programs have been cut and cut and cut and cut. And MusicLink is one answer to that problem. And John thought it a very good cause, and so he partnered with MusicLink. And this is the way he's putting his movie out, through a grassroots movement as opposed to this advertising frenzy.
Marketing,
right. So how I initiated... I was initiated into this by my brother, who called me up one day this past February and said, "Can you come up and be Guitar Sam or just play some blues for the audience at Bardavon Opera House in Poughkeepsie?"
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as a musician, I said, "Yeah, I could do that." And then I started learning about what it is that and how they were hooked up and connected. And actually, MusicLink has several areas across the United States where its programs are located, and one of them is Pennsylvania. You can go to musiclink.org and find out more. Or you can write Dr. Joanne Hartunian, who's the executive director, and she is also out of Pennsylvania. You can write her at info@musiclinkfoundation.org. So the performance in Poughkeepsie and the movie went over like blockbusters, no pun intended. There was about 600 people in the audience, and there was an awareness raised. There was that particular theater gave the entire receipts from there that night, and $1,000 was raised towards MusicLink's efforts. And I thought, gosh, what a great thing it would be to bring it back to Phoenixville because of the Colonial Theater and Mary Foote, and she's just so.
That's as grassroots as you get.
Exactly.
As you can get.
You know, she's done so much at taking that theater. And I remember coming here the first year I was here and seeing the Blob Fest. And I just love the theater. And so I talked with Mary. You know, it's a smaller theater than the Bardavon. So I don't think it was appropriate to ask her to give the house receipts for the night. So we're putting up a fundraising table, and we're going to raise funds that way, maybe ask people for a donation of $1 or something. But Mary is allowing all music students, and in fact all students in the area, in for free that evening.
Really?
So she is creating this atmosphere where the awareness can be raised, and I can't say how grateful I am. It's
absolutely,
yeah, the way this has worked out. This is the first kind of effort of my own, and I went into it with very green ears and got my feet wet and was baptized by fire in a sense, because I saw my brother and Lydia doing it up there, and they make things look easy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, oh, this will be a piece of cake, and the canvassing and the getting people out there and the organizing has been, you know, not to mention the band rehearsals, and it's like my head's been swimming.
Absolutely, I can imagine it's been overwhelming at times.
Yeah.
So people have probably seen, I know I've seen, talking about canvassing, I've seen the flyers for Guitar Sam up at different coffee shops and areas. You are actually going to be playing in the Guitar Sam band.
Yes.
Performing this music. Now, will it actually be music for the film, or will it be blues?
It'll be music of the genre.
Of the genre.
Yeah, so it'll be blues, there'll be some Muddy Waters, there'll be some Reverend Gary Davis, you know. People will be stomping their feet by the end of that performance, and then they get to see a short portion of the MusicLink Foundation information CD or DVD that I've got in front of you, and afterwards a short introduction from John Sayles himself will come on the screen and thanking everyone for their attendance, and it's actually the one that was made for the Bardavon, so you'll hear the Bardavon mentioned, even though it's the Colonial. But it does give, it's a very informative, 5-minute piece. And it's nice to see John talking about the connection between the music and the arts and the importance of bringing it back to this grassroots movement, because we're not going to see any help in the near future by, let's say, our government.
I think that they have bigger problems to worry about.
They're working on other stuff.
So the blues and this kind of music, I imagine, has been a big part of your life and your musical career. Can you tell us some things about your background and your career as a musician?
Yeah, absolutely. I started playing guitar when I was 10 or 11. And immediately knew that that was my instrument, and I played throughout high school and was in different bands, and then in 1982 I went from college, where I was at Geneseo, to I actually hitchhiked across Canada with my guitar and my backpack with a job waiting for me out at Glacier National Park to be a part-time employee and / entertainer. So I would scramble eggs in the morning at 4 o'clock in the morning for the tourists, and then get ready to play Hootenannies on Friday nights for the tourists. And it's funny, while I was out there, I had my brush with fame. I was practicing for a Hootenanny.
A Hootenanny?
A Hootenanny.
Not to be confused with Bach Social.
And who came walking? I was on this beautiful glacial lake, and who comes walking by but Paul Simon and Ed Simon, his brother. They had Paul and Simon Garfunkel had just split up. It was after the concert at Central Park.
Mm-hmm.
And by coincidence, they both took vacations at Glacier National Park. Paul was first. Very affable. Both brothers came walking down the boat dock and sat down with me for 45 minutes, and we passed around my guitar and played.
Oh, wow.
And this inspired me to start getting more serious about my career. And when I got back to New York, Ed Simon had offered six months worth of free lessons at the Guitar Institute. The Guitar Institute is at the New School for Social Research, and Ed runs that.
Oh, wow.
And so when I got back, I took him up on that, and my cousin and I lived together for a while, and we were in bands. The most infamous was the Brooklyn Longhorns. We played at places like The Bog in Brooklyn and CBGB's.
Oh, really?
Yeah, downtown Manhattan. It was
so part of that very very well publicized music scene of the time.
Yeah, it was the time.
Absolutely. I guess it's kind of like, speaking in general, I mean, talking about, you know, your love of music and things like the Music Link Foundation, what are some other things that people can do to try and, you know, bring music and the arts and this back into education and make it a priority again, too?
I can't say for certain what in general people can do, but for me, it was important to realize that I could benefit through service, that it wasn't all about just, you know, showmanship and performance. And so I started back in 1988 working with a grassroots organization called Music for People, and David Darling runs that, and took a 4-year certificate course in musicianship and leadership, and through those years learned to work with different populations, and including autistic and developmentally disabled adults, senior citizens, folks with Alzheimer's. And so I sort of fell into this music therapy aspect of the music. So for me, that is now my job.
Mm-hmm.
I get to do that and get paid, and I also get to do it as service work in certain cases.
That's fantastic. Eric, I want to thank you for joining us today. Obviously, if people want more information on the event, they can go to thecolonialtheater.org. Or are there any other websites that they can go to for more information?
The Colonial is the best, and the next one would be MusicLink, and that's musiclink.org. Also, yeah, that would be it. Those two are good ones.
Excellent. Well, Eric, before you finish up today, if you wouldn't mind gracing us with some of your fine musicianship, we'd love to hear it.
Let's see. I was thinking of a blues tune. That seems appropriate.
It does indeed.
Grab my pick. Dripper's gonna be doing it right. Yeah, that guitar sound band blues is gonna be playing the blues, yeah. Friday night at 6:45, don't be late. Tunes like Muddy Waters and Reverend G. Davis. Whoa, then we're gonna sit back and watch John Sayles' movie called The Honey Dripper, baby. I'm really thankful that you gave me this chance to give a little bit of a sample of the dance.
Thank you so much, sir. We look forward to seeing more on Friday night.
Thanks, Matt.